Danica Patrick joins us on Sports Byline. She has competed in the IndyCar Series, the NASCAR Nationwide Series, and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. And, of course, she is the most successful woman in the history of American open wheel racing. She's the only woman to win the IndyCar Series and has the highest finish at the Indianapolis 500, which was third place back in 2009. You know, I was reading an article on you just today, Danica, and you the quote was, and it jumped right out at me, "Everyone learns at a different rate, and I don't really know what mine is." How difficult has it been for you to try to understand what that rate is and what you need to learn and how quickly it's coming?
Oh, I don't know if it's really something that you even need to learn. I think it's just something that is. You can't change it. You can't fix it. You can all you can do is continue to do your best, and that will help you learn as quickly as possible. But, you know, it just takes time for stuff to sink in, and you have to have the experiences too. You know, you just have to experience things for yourself. So that it just takes time to accumulate those.
Which is harder, to learn the technique of driving on the NASCAR circuit or being able to control your emotions and your eagerness? Because you're a person that is very, very smart and very eager as well.
Oh, well, that's nice. I don't know if I'm very smart, but I think that temper can be one of the hardest ones just because it's so impulsive. And so there's no sensor for that because it's just something that happens as a reflex. So I think that's something that it's taken a long time for me to learn how to keep under control.
I think you know as well as I do that respect in sports is something that is earned, and I would think it's hard for anybody, but particularly if it happens to be a woman who's in a predominantly male-driven sport. And I'm wondering, has that been difficult for you? Have you had to deal with some things that maybe other male drivers would not have to deal with?
Well, the good news is I don't know any different. So it's not like I wish it was a different way. I don't know. I've always been in this position, and you know, I'd like to think that it just takes time to earn everyone's respect around you, and that you know, maybe it more boils down to the confidence level of the people you're dealing with. I find that the more confident people are, the less they care about, you know, a girl running well or beating them ever. So you know, you just have to earn that respect.
I'm going to use a baseball analogy here because I have a lot of my friends that are Major League Baseball players, and pitchers will tell me, Danica, that when they go over, say, or they're first in the league, the American League or the National League, they have to learn the parks, they have to learn the batters and everything. Is it the same way for you learning the tracks?
Yeah, absolutely. Learning tracks, learning the car. The car is the most important thing. And just learning how to get it to its limit and what it feels like when, you know, you've reached that. So, yeah, that just takes time, absolutely. And just learning the kind of ebb and flow of the race and the weekend itself, and when to get excited about things and when to not worry about it.
You know, when I talked to Tony Stewart one time, I asked him, I said, how quickly can you tell what kind of car do you have underneath you when you're getting ready to race? And he answered the question for me. What process do you go through mentally to be able to understand what kind of car you're driving in any race?
You're asking me what process do I go through?
Right.
Oh, that's the process I'm in right now. I think one of the things that's really unique about NASCAR compared to IndyCar, at least, is that in IndyCar, the car stayed quite consistent throughout the weekend. Once you achieved a balance, for the most part, you know, it was very similar from there on out. In NASCAR, you can hop into the car from one day to the next, and you don't know what happened. It feels different. And you go into the race, and all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, why does the car feel like this? And the car changes throughout the race and the run, and, you know, you just got to keep up with that. So I don't, you know, like, I wouldn't know exactly from the first lap out whether or not the car would be fast for the whole race weekend or not. I could tell you whether or not it'd be fast the next lap. I can tell you when a lap is good and when it's not. And I can tell you that, you know, maybe I'll have some kind of indication as to whether or not the car will be good in the race. But, you know, it's, I feel like in NASCAR, it's something I'm still learning.
I'm assuming then, off of what you just said, communication is one of the key things for you or any driver, being able to communicate with their crew chief so they can help you better understand your car.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's every driver describes the feeling of the car, and there's no like playbook on when you say the car is a 2 out of 5 tight. That's not the same for everyone. In fact, that's not the same for anyone. So it's the crew chief's and the driver's job to get used to each other enough to know like, what does that really mean? How big of a change do I need to make, and what kind of a change is needed?
You've had a couple of crew chief changes lately, and I'm just wondering, how long does it take for the chemistry between crew chief and driver, like yourself, to be able to blend together?
No time at all. If the chemistry's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not.
What do you look for as far as chemistry to know that it's there then, Danica?
I don't think you can. I don't think I know exactly what that is. I don't think anyone knows what produces chemistry between people. I think that it's just an experience that you have to have, and that's why sometimes you go through, that's why you work with someone and maybe find out it doesn't work after a while because, it just doesn't come around and something's not clicking quite right. But I can definitely tell you that the chemistry with Tony Gibson was there right from the get-go, and of course, because that's the way it goes. You either get along with somebody and you feel like you understand each other and respect each other and enjoy being around each other, or you don't.
Yeah, because you said, I've learned it just takes time, and having the right people around you is important. Certain things sink in quickly and easily, and other things take a little bit longer. Is communication the key to that that blend as quickly as possible?
Yes. Communication, and I think trust.
And how do you define trust?
Like when I say what the car is doing, you don't second guess it and you just make a change. And, I trust that whatever he's doing is the right thing. And I believe in his ability purely. And I don't question that. I think that's the kind of trust that you need.
You started go-kart racing when you were 10 years old. At 16, you moved to England to race in the British National Series. Take me back and help me to understand what it was about racing that attracted you, Danica.
It wasn't speed. That's not my thing. In fact, I don't like going fast even. I don't know. I get scared. I was on a boat this summer, and we were out on a lake, and the boat was a speed boat, and I think we got up to like 116 or 19 miles an hour, and I was definitely the first one to tap out and say, why don't you just back it on down for me, please? So when I first got into racing, I mean, I loved seeing the improvement. I loved that lap time coming down. That's instant gratification. So I just like setting a goal and achieving it.
You may be the only one I know that is in a sport in which they go a couple hundred miles an hour, but when you drive your personal car, you're not looking to go that fast. Because Jimmy Johnson, I asked him, I said, how hard was it for you once you come off the track not to put your foot down on the pedal when you're driving out on the highways? And he started laughing. He says, Ron, he says, sometimes that is difficult, but it's probably not for you, is it, Danica?
No, sometimes it can be. Sometimes you just feel racy. I don't know if it's necessarily about needing to put your foot down. You just feel impatient because you spent your entire day not being patient with people. You try and get by them as quickly as possible. So I think that's more of what it is for me.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I want to ask you about the marketing of Danica Patrick. Peyton Manning is a friend of mine, and I talked to him a little bit about, how he approached the business side of football. How have you approached the things outside of auto racing and how you want to be represented?
I think that's something that develops over time, and I think that you end up finding things that make sense for you, things that are true, things that fit. For instance, today I'm in LA. It's World COPD Day, and COPD is a disease that my grandma had and killed her, and I'm just trying to raise awareness for that. And I think that these are the things that you find along the way that just make sense. And, you got to follow your heart.
Given the demands that go along with your sport and your profession, is it hard to balance the two?
I think early on it is. When you don't have as many opportunities, it does get a little bit tough because, you're kind of in a position to say yes to anything. So I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in.
I don't see you saying yes to anything. I mean, you pick the choose the things that you want to do.
I've been called Mrs. No or something like that because I say no to everything and then you have to tell me why I should. But luckily I have plenty of people in place and good people that get to figure all that stuff out for me. And I would say that I don't really have to say yes and no to all that many things anymore. It's usually doesn't come to my desk until, let's face it, I don't have a desk, but it doesn't come to my desk figuratively unless it's something I probably should do.
We only have 20 seconds left. I'm sure you'd like to send a shout out to the troops that get a chance to hear us worldwide and also in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your tireless efforts for our country, and thank you for your commitment and your courage. I just hope that hopefully you're entertained a little bit by this conversation and it sent you to a good place where you could laugh and smile a little bit before you get on with your work.
I want to thank you for your time as well. Danica, take care. Come back anytime on Sports Byline.
All right, thank you.
Danica Patrick with us. We continue with America's Sports Talk Show.